This is Pastor Albert Pendarvis, the old trailblazer, riding out again at this time, blazing the path to the hearts of sinners. And I'm happy to be back with you folks. We're bringing you these studies on the 11th chapter of Hebrews, and we're coming down there close to the end, and we're looking about how those folks had suffered. But I want to go back now and read you a few verses out of the chapter, 11th chapter. I want to begin there at the 17th verse, speaking of those who we see their faith. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. He that received the promise offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able, that's faith, my friend, was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence he also received him in a figure. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed the sons of Joseph and worshiped, leaning upon the top of his staff. By faith, Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandments concerning his bones. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. We'll just stop right there. We'll read some more in our next lesson. But I just wanted you to get that picture. We'd kind of gotten away from it in these latter verses. How that everything was by faith. By faith, Abraham took his son up on that mountain, on Mount Moriah. You remember that story? The Lord told him, Abraham, Abraham, take thy son, thy only begotten son, and take him up there where I will show you. And he took the lad and a couple of his servants, and they went. I believe it was a 3 days journey. And he told his servants, said, you stay here, and the lad and I will go up on the mountain and worship. And he went up there. And the lad, Isaac, he said, Father, he said, here is the fire and here is the wood, but where is the offering? And he said, the Lord will provide. And they named that place Jehovah Jireh. And then we saw others, Isaac and Jacob. And we can't get away from it, can we? Looking how the Lord gave those folks faith. But we were looking there that there's nothing too hard or too difficult for faith to affect when it works according to the revealed will of God. Now, I know, listen, can you say, can I know the will of God? Yes. And I'm going to tell you something else. If you know the Lord, there isn't a moment, not one moment in your life, if you know the Lord, if you know him, you're walking with him, there isn't a moment in the day or the hour of the night that you cannot come consciously into the presence of the Lord God of heaven. There isn't, my friend. I tell you folks, and I speak to my trucker friends out there many, many times, I said, old trucker, I know the trials and the tribulations and the heartaches, you're away from your family a lot, but there isn't a moment you can't come to the Lord if you know him. Just going down the highway there, and don't close your eyes. Just ask the Lord, Lord, give me grace. Give me faith to believe you. Lord, give me, take care of my children back there at home, my wife. They're suffering because I'm gone and not able to do the things around the home that's supposed to be there. But I'm out here trying to make a living, and I praise the Lord for you truckers out there. I praise the Lord for our working people of this nation. We've got so many now that's waiting for a handout, and I'm not be critical, but my friend, we've got to turn this thing around. We've got too many people waiting on these entitlements and all those things. You can look to the Lord. I tell you, you can look to him. Brother George Mueller, I mentioned him to you before, the great old founder of those children's homes there in Bristol, England. For 63 years, there's never been a moment that I could not come into the presence of my Father, he says, at a moment's notice. For 63 years, you say? Oh, listen. That's a normal Christian life. A normal Christian that the very, ever believer ought to live. If you're not living that way, my friend, your life is an abnormal life. I'm afraid you need to make your calling and election sure. Listen. All right, now, let's go on. Let's get something else. If you're living your life according to the revealed will of God through Christ, then you can't rise any higher than any other believer. Oh, I tell my folks here and over the radio, There were no big I's and little U's in the Lord. Oh, I see these high-rolling doctors and professors and all, and I get literature through the mail by the handfuls every week and every month, and with these high-rolling preachers on the front page of a glossy magazine, and they give you all of their pedigrees and all that. But I mean, my friend, God's people are just plain people, just common people. I remember Brother Shelton was a great preacher and a great pastor, and he was admired all over the country. And I remember him telling this story. He went up into Canada to preach a couple of nights or something, and he stayed all night with one of the local people there that had been writing to him. And he said he kind of everything got quiet, and he sounded like the lady was downstairs maybe fixing breakfast the next morning. And he went down there, and she was setting all the fine silver out on the table in the china. He said, "Ma'am, don't do that. Put all that back. Put all that back. We're just going to have some cereal in a bowl." And that's the way it was, and that's the way God's people are. I know many times he spent the night here with me in my house and get up in the morning, next morning, go back to New Orleans after he'd preached here on a night. And he'd come in the house, and while we was getting the stuff out of the car, and I'd go in, and he'd take the milk jug out of the refrigerator and drink out of the jug. Well, that wasn't no problem to me. I did that myself sometime. But, my friend, we're plain people. I don't advocate that in everybody's place. But, my friend, it just shows you that God's people are plain people. I've stayed in homes where rich people stayed. But, my friend, you feel uncomfortable. You feel uncomfortable. But I never felt uncomfortable around God's man. No, sir, because they make you comfortable. Now, let's see. Let's go back. Did you know that, my friend? You don't rise above anybody else because you're living in a place doing what the Lord wants you to do. It may be sitting over there in a corner somewhere. I mentioned that in our last study. You may be on the backside of the desert like Moses was. You remembered Moses? A great man of God, but he was on the backside of the desert. We never heard one peep out of him for 40 years. But all that time he was back there tending sheep for his father-in-law. He was a shepherd by nature. But my friend, he wasn't a big muckety-muck. No. You don't have to have all the PhDs and all those things behind your name to be a man of God. I got a letter from a man not long ago who wrote me. He said, "Since you're the voice of truth," we have a message, a broadcast here called The Voice of Truth. And he said, "Since you're the voice of truth, I'd like to ask you a question." And he said, "I want to know who Cain's wife was." And then he went on to tell me, he said, "I have a BA from this degree from this college and a this and that and the other and a THD. And he said, "I have a PhD pending." And so I wrote him back. I usually don't do that. I wrote him back and I said, "Well, I'll answer your question. First of all, Cain's wife was his sister. That's the only people was on earth." And that's the way the Lord ordained it. But I said, "I don't have a PhD. My dad told me that a fool could answer a question that a smart man couldn't answer. But my friend, and I don't have a PhD, THD, I don't have all of that. But I can tell you how the Lord saves a sinner. Did you know you don't have to be smart? Oh, we've had folks here in the early days of my being in this ministry. We had a couple of men that could not read nor write, but they had heard the Bible read and they memorized it and they could stand up and preach. And then we had one man that was an evangelist, so to speak, and he would come here and preach for us. And if somewhere in his message, he couldn't read nor write, somewhere in his message he'd make this statement: it's neither this, it's neither that. Christ died for sinners. Are you a sinner?" And I tell you, my message, the simple, old simpleton trailblazer, just a poor old simpleton, I tell you, it's neither this, it's neither that. Christ died for sinners. Are you a sinner? Then the other man, he couldn't read nor write, and he'd bring a message, and he'd say, "Come clean, come clear, go to hell. Come clean, come clear, go to hell." My friend, there's no better message than that. If you never have come clean and come clear with the Lord, you're not saved. I can tell you that without equivocation. But listen, we're going on day by day, and the Lord has a purpose in each one of us. He may set us over there on the backside of the desert. He may throw you out there on the front line, so to speak. I have a story here by Mr. John Warburton. He said the first time he ever got up to bring a message, he could not say one word. He couldn't say a word. He was dumbfounded. He stood there behind the pulpit for a few moments, went over there and sat down. Went over and sat down. The Lord just closed his mouth. Nobody made fun of him. No, they knew what was going on. His heart was so burdened, his mind was so taxed. And from after that, though, he went on to be a great old preacher. Yes, sir, but listen, the Lord knows. The Lord knows. He gives you talent. The Lord gives you talent. If he's going to use you, he gives you talent to do this and do that and the other. And all of us are not pastors and preachers. No, sir. No, sir. Some of us carpenters and electricians and plumbers and making money and giving to the Lord's work to get out the gospel. I did that for many, many years, having no idea that I would ever stand behind this microphone. But I was working in the Lord's work. I had a little business that my brother and I opened back there many years ago. And the first thing we did was dedicate it to the Lord. Dedicate it unto the Lord. Listen, trucker, if you're out there fixing to get ready to hit the road, do you stop and ask the Lord to give you traveling mercy, give you grace to get back home? Do you do that? You folks out there going to the office to work today, in all the traffic and the things that we have, are you asking the Lord? I know here at the office we have a printing ministry here in the back of our bookstore, large printing press and all those things. And Brother Freddie and the other men go back there in the morning and they pray over that machine that it'll work properly. You say that's foolish? No, sir, that's not foolish. Listen, the Bible says give thanks in all things. Give thanks in all things. And that's one of the all things, my friend. Let's just be practical. Let's be realistic. Oh, but my friend, listen, you're in his conscience presence, and you're doing what the Lord wants you to do. Even yonder, somebody else is doing what the Lord wants them to do. We have folks all over this nation who are supporting this work, and I get letters and emails from them. They tell me what they're doing, what kind of business they're in, and getting out the gospel, helping me with the gospel. So we can do that by faith, my friend. We might say by faith we can see those dead in sin and trespasses raised to life in Christ. That's grace, isn't it? We can do that. Listen, we can see them. I have family members who are not saved, some who don't care a thing in the world about their soul. I can see. Did you know there's no hard cases with the Lord? There's no hard cases. Oh, you look back at the hard cases seemingly that the Lord saw. I often speak of the maniac there at Gadara. That old boy, well, you couldn't tame him. You couldn't bind him. You couldn't tie him down. And the Lord saved him. The Lord saved him. I compare myself to him in my younger days, in my unsaved days. I was a wild ass's coat. Yes, sir. Oh, you pastor, you was not. No, 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 no. I told somebody this morning, you don't know my heart. Fellas told me I was meek as Moses. I said, no, mister, you don't know my heart. You don't know my heart. No, sir, you don't know my heart. And but I tell you what, I praise the Lord for everything he's done for me. Would you just stay with me and tell me what the Lord has done for you? And if you would, and then help me with the broadcast, if you will. Would you do that? I appreciate it if you would. And come see me when you can. Come drink a cup of coffee with me. Eat a piece of pie here at the office with me. You folks live close around here somewhere. And if you're passing through this way, call me. Come by and we'll take you to lunch. But this is the Old Trailblazer. Remember my mailing address? The Old Trailblazer, Post Office Box 1810, Walker, Louisiana, 70785. And my email address, pastor@radiomissions.org. Goodbye and God bless you.